Crossroads. And on the line now, I have Brian McLaughlin from Inner City Helping Homeless. Good afternoon, Brian.
Afternoon, John. How are you?
Listen, thank you very much for taking the call. I know you had a great chat with my colleague, Adrienne, there last week. And
We had a good chat there a couple of weeks back.
Yeah,
that's right.
And things aren't getting any easier. And we were wondering about the St. Patrick's Festival coming up and what's going to happen there. There's two points I'd like to make. One, the homeless people who are living on the streets, and secondly, are hotels and B&Bs and places like that, are they going to want their rooms back? Because I'm sure they make much more money from tourists.
Yeah, so I mean, from the perspective of the people on the street, we will absolutely see some disruption, because a lot of the historical buildings, like the GPO, for example, would be cordoned off with so many tourists in the city over the weekend. So we would have concerns for people that are out on the streets, you know, over that period of time. As you know yourself, St. Patrick's weekend, Dublin City Centre can be quite manic. So it'll be a tough weekend for the people that are out there. But I mean, our teams will be out all over the weekend, you know, making sure everyone's okay and seeing if they want to avail of a bed for the night. On the flip side of that, like you said, we've had issues in previous Patrick's Days where a lot of families that have been living in emergency accommodation in hotels and bed and breakfasts are requested to leave for the weekend simply because the hotel knows they can make more money from the tourist industry over the particular weekend. So that's a big concern for us as well, because in those situations, the families are told, you know, you'll need to go and find alternative accommodation yourself. But trying to source alternative accommodation during St. Patrick's weekend is not an easy task. And in previous years, we've had to step in and accommodate people ourselves where they've had no option. We're hoping that the government and the DRHE have kind of learned from their mistakes of the past. I mean, the way we would look at it is, when the hotels are getting such a huge amount of money from the Dublin Regional Homes Executive every single month, they shouldn't have the option to just put people out when they feel they can make more money over a particular weekend. You know, there's a huge amount of money being spent on hotels to house homeless families. So we're hoping that they've learned from their mistakes and that we won't have a situation this weekend where we're getting contacted by families that have been asked to leave. But we won't hold our breath. We'll wait and see what happens.
And there's no safeguards there, Brian, for people who are living in these hotels and B&Bs. Is there no contracts or such like?
Well, that's exactly what the problem we've had. And I think it was something that we've raised in the last 2 years. We've been quite forceful in our questioning of the Minister and the DRHE in that regard, because, you know, our interpretation of it is, if a hotel has been kept going by homeless payments from the DRHE right throughout the year, they shouldn't have that option to remove a family for a weekend like a bank holiday or St. Patrick's weekend. You know, there's no way that should be allowed. If they're happy to take the money right throughout the year and on weekends where there's no business for them and things are quiet, then there should be a contract in place that says they cannot actually do that. So we're hoping, as I say, we're hoping that the department have learned from the lessons, you know, from the mistakes of the past, and that won't happen this weekend. But alternatively, we're still going to offer our services available to anyone that needs it, that is, finds themselves in that situation.
And have you got no assurances from the department that this will not happen? Have they got back to you?
We feel that the department should be out in front of this type of thing and saying, you know, just to put people's mind at ease, anyone that is in a hotel with their family or a bed and breakfast, they have nothing to worry about this weekend. But we have had a couple of people contact us and say they are concerned or they are wondering, is it going to happen to them this weekend? So it's not fair on families to have that hanging over their heads, that they aren't sure for definite that they will be in the hotel over the weekend. So we would ask, you know, the DRHE and the Minister's Department to actually come out and state if that is the case, you know, if it is a case that no one will be asked to leave over that period of time. You know, people need that assurance, I think, just to make them feel more comfortable and relaxed when it comes into the bank holiday weekend.
Now, did you say to me, Brian, that this actually happened last year? That there were people...
It happened over the last couple of years, absolutely, yeah. We've had situations going back as far probably as around middle of 2017, we had families relentlessly, you know, presenting to us on a bank holiday Friday night at 8 o'clock, where they had been asked to leave the accommodation that they were in, and they had tried for the whole day to source an alternative accommodation for themselves and weren't able to do so. And as I say, a couple of times we actually stepped in and sourced accommodation ourselves and funded it ourselves just to make sure that they had somewhere to go for the weekend. So it is something that has happened in the past, and as I say, we would be fearful that it's going to happen again. Hopefully the government...
Yes. Sorry, Brian, you're breaking up a bit there.
Sorry, John?
You were breaking up a bit there, Brian. I don't know whether it's your end or my end. That sounds chaotic, that people are being put out in the street.
Yeah, and I mean, it's completely unfair. I mean, it's not like people are living in a hotel with, you know, enough clothes to last them a weekend. In a lot of cases, it's a family, so they're going to have their children's school clothes, they're going to have their toys, they're going to have their whole life, basically, in one hotel room. So for them to pack everything up on a Friday and be told, you know, come back to us on Tuesday or come back to us on Monday, that's a lot of effort, and it's a lot of hassle for those families to try and do that.
Yeah. And would they have, these people, would there be family or friends there that could put them up? Hello, Brian?
Yeah, hi, John.
Yeah, sorry, just interference on the line here. Those families, would they have friends or family who could put them up temporarily?
Well, in some cases, they would have had to do that, I mean, in some cases, they would be lucky enough. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that don't have that. You know, there's a lot of family homes at the moment that are overcrowded as it is. So there might not be room for, say, a family of four to come into them over the weekend. So, you know, at the end of the day, the homeless services are there to provide this for them. So it should be down to them to make sure that there's, you know, an alternative option for these families, if that is the case and they are asked to actually meet.
Yeah. And have you got stocks of sleeping bags, for instance, things like that, that can help people who are putting out in the streets?
Sorry, John, say that again for me.
Would you have stocks of sleeping bags, for instance? Would you have enough to go around if people
are
putting out
in the streets? So that's something that we'd have to keep our stock levels high on, because the outreach teams are out 7 nights a week. You know, we'll ideally have 4 walking teams out and if possible, 2 mobile units. So we will constantly be buying sleeping bags ourselves just to make sure we have a good supply of them available for people that need them. Particularly from what I can see, the weather forecast for the weekend is not good either. There's the threats of snow as a possibility of snow. So we will make sure that we're well stocked up when it comes to sleeping bags and walk clothes and so forth.
Yeah, and you mentioned the bad weather there and snow and stuff. And this is very, very serious. Like, there are people actually dying on our streets, which is a disgrace.
I think since Minister Murphy took over, you know, we're talking that we're aware of at least somewhere to 30 to 35 people that have died that were homeless. That's probably a lowball figure compared to, because they're the ones we're aware of. You know, there's probably a lot of people that have died in situations that we wouldn't even be fully aware of. I mean, the most recent one was actually just down the road from us on Amien Street last Saturday, where a man tragically passed away in a homeless hostel. So there's a huge issue with not only the concerns for the people that are actually out on the street, you know, they're obviously dealing with the elements and the weather and so forth, but even in the hostels themselves, there's a lot of issues with not appropriate wraparound support services for people that might have a mental health issue or an addiction issue. So the problem with homelessness, it goes from the top to the bottom. You know, it affects the person that's sleeping out in the doorway, right the way up to the families in the hotels, the bed and breakfast, you know. And there is definitely safety concerns when it comes to hostels. We have a lot of people on the street that actually won't go into a hostel simply because they have gone in before and they've had a negative experience or a safety concern, and they just won't go in. So it's a huge problem across the board.
Yeah. And people's outlook on people who are homeless and living on the streets now, hopefully, is changing, because I know that there was a time there where people thought, oh, these people are either addicted to drugs or they're alcoholics. But that's not the case anymore, Brian, sure, isn't it?
It's not, John. I mean, I think we all might have been guilty at one point of assuming a homeless person maybe had an addiction issue or a mental health issue. That has completely changed. Demographic has completely changed over the last couple of years. We've dealt with people that were actually working, you know, part-time or full-time and sleeping in a doorway at night-time. We've dealt with people that have no addiction issue, that have no mental health issue, that just have found themselves in that situation. So, as I say, you know, any generalisation attempt that we would have maybe had, and we might have all been guilty of it at some point, that has completely changed. The whole face of homelessness has changed over the last couple of years.
Yeah. And I talk to a lot of organisations, MAS being one of them, and there are evictions going on at the moment in this day and age, which is crazy. Can you see any solution to this problem?
I mean, the main solutions obviously would be, I mean, from a very high level, is they need to start building public housing on public land, whether it's social and affordable housing. The land is there, the zoned land is available between what the local authorities have and the NAMA debtors across Dublin. So the land is there, it's available to be built on. We were also, you know, very concerned with the hostel system. I mean, it's nowhere near, they're pouring money into it, but it's not going to get us anywhere, because they're not putting people through the proper support services to get them out of any issue that they might have. So the eviction side of things is definitely something that can be done. I mean, there was a bill passed in the Dáil last October that we were a part of with the National Homeless and Housing Coalition, and that bill was passed in the Dáil, but hasn't been acted on as of yet. And one of the things was to stop rising rents and stop evictions, because we've had situations, like one of the worst I came across was a couple of pensioners that presented to us. They had been evicted from the private rental market. They put their life savings into staying in a hotel for about 3 weeks, and then once that was gone, they had to present themselves as homeless. They were put straight into a hostel where there was drug use, And they were both in their 60s. The lady actually had some health issues, and they presented to us after one night in a homeless hostel. We put them up for the rest of the week, and we, fortunate enough, got in touch with a loan, and we managed to secure them a better accommodation. So it's affecting everyone right across the board, from babies that are being born into emergency accommodation right up to parents, you know, in their 60s and 70s that have been evicted from the private rental market. So the government really needs to wise up and realise that this problem will get worse unless they really make a mark and
yeah, it's disgraceful what's going on. It's that two old age pension is it's heartbreaking. What can the public do, Brian, to help out?
Well, I mean, what the public can do is we had a demonstration in town last Saturday, yeah, for example. The next one will be coming up in May. So we'd ask people to get their feet on the street and come out and support us in that sense. Obviously, the local elections are going on as well. So if people are calling to your door looking for election to local council, raise the issue of housing and homelessness. Raise it to your local TDs. You know, send them an email. Make sure that people are aware that we're not happy about how this is going and we see this being a long-term problem. And they need to understand that the people of Ireland, it's affecting everyone. It's affecting, I've spoken to students that are going to college in Dublin, but that are commuting from the likes of Cork and Limerick and doing that 5 days a week because they can't source student accommodation in Dublin. Now, there's something very wrong in this country when people that are working can't source accommodation. People that are trying to go to college can't source accommodation. There's a serious, serious problem that the government need to address. And unless we keep on putting the pressure on them, they just won't do it. So we need everyone just to keep putting the pressure on them. On the flip side, anyone that wants to maybe start volunteering with ICHH, we're a voluntary-run organisation. So we're looking for volunteers from 10 in the morning to 11 at night in a number of different roles. So if anyone wanted to volunteer with us, they can get in touch with us on volunteering@ICHH.ie, or they could donate the likes of sleeping bags and warm clothes to us, which we distribute every night as well. So, I mean, if anyone wanted to do that, they can get in touch with us on 01888 1804.
Just give us that again, Brian. 01888.
Yeah, 1804.
1804. Okay, and it's
www.icHH.ie. Yeah.
Listen, Brian, yeah, thanks very much for taking the call. And, you know, I have great admiration for you and your organisation and the work you're doing, and keep it up. It's an awful shame that
much,
it has to be.
It.
It's an awful shame that it has to be done, but it's just another fact of life in Ireland. Of today.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I know we've spoken about it before, John. You know, I think we would happily close our doors and say we're not needed anymore. There's no more homeless problem, but unfortunately, we're a long way from that. So, as long as there is a problem, we'll continue to fight against it.
Okay, Brian. As I said, thank you very much for taking the call.
Thanks, John.
Keep up the good work. Thank you. Right, Brian McLaughlin there for Inner City Helping Homeless, and it's ICHH.ie if you want to volunteer or donate, or you can call them on 01888 1804.